Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Back in 1973, when Kathy and I were in Heidelberg and I was studying at the university, during the very early spring of 1973, we sang a piece by Vivaldi, Vivaldi's Gloria, at the church where we went to worship in Eppelheim. And one of the four soloists who sang at that was a German lady, and her husband came and he stood right next to me and he sang as well. It was a treat because he was a good singer. He's a really good singer. What I found out was that he was the choir director for the United States Army Choir in Heidelberg. And so he gave me one of the greatest compliments I ever got. He thought maybe I was from East Germany or Eastern Europe. He knew my accent wasn't German, but he didn't think I was American because he had heard the American German, and he didn't sound like that. But anyway, he invited us to come and join with the United States Army Choir to sing Handel's Messiah. And so we got a chance to sing the Messiah with them, and Easter must have been late that year because I remember Matthew was born the Wednesday after Easter, and he's born on the 25th of April, so kind of like this coming year. But as we were getting ready for it, the choir director said, I wonder if you would do me a favor and write an introductory piece, because that performance was being played the next Sunday on Easter Sunday throughout all of Europe for Armed Forces Radio. And so I got a chance to kind of study through the way Handel's Messiah is put together, how the librettist had done all that. And one thing stuck out at me. Right after the Hallelujah Chorus, which pretty much everybody has heard at some time or another, if they've been around in our country very long, right after the Hallelujah Chorus, you know what comes next? I know that my Redeemer lives. It's one thing to stand back and cheer and say, isn't it great? Some wonderful thing happened over there, out there, somewhere. It's a very different thing to say, that's my Savior. That's my Lord. And so that was a real gift that he gave me, that he allowed me to go and study up on that some and see a little bit more in detail about how it is all put together. Last week, we looked at Isaiah chapter 11, where on the temple mount of the Lord, there would be all sorts of animals, and they would be all getting along, and none would hurt each other, none would harm each other. Little children could play by the holes of snakes and not get bitten. They could be around scorpions and not get stung. Can it get better than that? Yes. Because that could be seen just as a picture of something out there, over there, somewhere, instead of our story. This is true about us. And so, what happens? John the Baptist, imprisoned across the Jordan River at Machaerus, says to his disciples, I thought this Jesus was the one who was going to come and deliver us from all the political troubles that we have with the Romans and with the leaders of our people who are not leading us in the right way religiously. Go check him out. Go ask him, are you the one to come or are we looking for someone else? And Jesus quotes from Isaiah 35. He knew his scriptures very well. He drank deeply of the scriptures that were given, and he recognized that he was the one who was going to bring that healing. He says, go tell John what you have seen and heard. And he cites this text because very often our dreams are way too small. Our expectations are way too minimalistic for what God really has in mind. Can you imagine? Every sickness, every disease, everything that's wrong is going to be gone completely, forever. And it's not just somebody else. It's us. How can you do better than Hallelujah Chorus? He's my Redeemer. How can you do better than there's going to be a beautiful, wonderful future? We're going to be in it. We who carry burdens now. We know what it's like to carry the burdens. We know what it's like, sometimes in small ways, sometimes in very large ways, the aches that come in life. None of us escape them. Not even when we're young, there are things that we go through and things that we see happen that can weigh us down. It's more important than just that something will happen out there, over there, somewhere. It's that something will happen for us. And we might think, well, that's only going to happen in the future, someday. Well, our Lord resolves that for us a little bit. Not in taking away everything that weighs us down. We'd sure like that, just plug the quarter into the Jesus machine and have him fix everything that's wrong for the next 15 minutes. But he takes away what's wrong deep in our heart with him. So that we need not wonder, is God somehow against me? Is God somehow not pleased with me? Is he sending this stuff to give me trouble, to shape me up, to keep me in line? Martin Luther talked very often about that we would bear the cross as well. But by that he does not mean that God is punishing us like our Lord died on the cross. Instead, Luther senses in the scriptures that the troubles and the struggles and the pains and the hurts, the blindness, the deafness, the lameness, the dumbness, the deadness, that's all a consequence of the broken world that we're born into, and it's a consequence of that world somehow threatening to tear us all down and tear us all apart. Fear not. Fear not. You will never be pulled away from me. And when our Lord says on the cross, it is finished, that means God is done with pouring out the consequences of our sin on us. This world wants to shut him up and shut him and the church down. It's not neutral. It's not just some little organization that can do what it wants to. The gospel message is a threat to the old sinful nature. It's a threat to those who say, I'm doing fine on my own. But as we are invited to come and say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, have sinned against you, we are not told, get out of here then until you can get it right. We are reminded that in the very depth of our being, for all eternity, we have been healed. We have been healed of our brokenness from God, the vengeance that God would pour out on us for our inability to love and serve him has been poured out on Christ. The outside stuff, the stuff that we carry, the stuff that hurts and wears us down and discourages us and makes us wonder what life is all about, that doesn't all go away, but the power of it to crush us is gone, replaced by the one who has healed us and given us eyes to see and ears to hear the goodness of his forgiveness and life and salvation. We will not resolve everything that has happened to us on this earth. We will not get rid of it, but we can lay it down before the feet of our Lord and say, do not let it crush me, Lord. Do not let it determine what my future is going to be. And he says, that's exactly what I've done. I've taken away my wrath. I've taken away the power of your old sinful nature and the world and Satan himself and death to destroy who you are and what I have made you to be. And thus, John was told, the healing has begun. We can anticipate somehow within that eternity that the healing will be complete and it will be ours. No more bandages, no more diseases, no more wondering what the future holds, but the eternal present of each day, provided with what God gives us to live out our eternity and however he has that in mind. And thus we pray that he would settle our hearts and then help us to bring that settledness to others and not say it's just words, but that it's the power of God to salvation and to life everlasting. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.